broadcasting live from the KTKK studios in Salt Lake City, Utah. This is the Jack Stockwell radio program. To contact Jack from Salt Lake, 654-5855. And now the consummate voice of sense and sensibility himself, Jack Stockwell.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. I'm, as always, glad to be with you this morning. It happens to be just a few seconds after 7:06 a.m. in the great Intermountain West. We're broadcasting from Salt Lake City on a beautiful, crystal clear day, unless the spraying starts up, the aerial spraying. If you don't believe in the aerial spraying, or, you know, if you're dismissive of it, ridicule that whole thing, you might be on the wrong channel. You know, we've observed that for years. My in-studio guest is Clint Richardson. There are great documentaries now, 10, 11, 12 years hence, since the spraying has commenced. Clint and I believe in aerial spraying because we've observed it so much. I don't know about our telephonic guest, our guest we have on hold, Jeffrey Greenspan, but that's not what the subject of the show is today. The subject of the show, broadly speaking, and did I mention that Jack Stockwell is not here this morning? I guess you figured that out Monday. We might have a false start or two. I'm a little cranky this morning, and I'm looking around for some water. That has made me cranky, but I do have a coffee with me, and I do have two good friends. They have some expertise about this subject that we're going to attack this morning, and we're not going to waste too much time. Let me just tell you that what I'm really about here is a discussion. The broad topic is Darwinism. Now you think I'm kidding. No, it really is. It's natural selection. You might not buy the whole Darwinian theory. I don't know that I do, as the origin of species. But I certainly believe that there is a thing called natural selection, and we're watching it happen right before our eyes. A nation, a people, a tribe, even a race, is no different in my mind than a species. In that there are always going to be external threats to anything that presumes to try to stay alive on this earth. It's literally a dog-eat-dog world. And if an entity or a species or whatever the thing we're isolating for to examine, to take a look at, cannot deal with external threats as well as pathogenic internal threats, you know, disease, can't expel things from within its body that are a threat both ways, both external and internal, it's going to pass from the earth. It's going to pass and be replaced by something. That's what we're seeing right now in the state of Utah. We're seeing an organism, it just seems completely irrational, but the state of Utah is immolating itself. It is essentially engaged in activities that are the inverse, the opposite of natural selection, where the most fit are selected. It is driving itself headlong towards extinction. Good morning, Clint Richardson. Good morning. How are you doing?
Very good, thank you.
I've already observed you. I know you're doing okay. Clint Richardson is the co-founder of Utah We Are Change. He's got a part one and part two documentary about the CAFRs out there called The Corporation Nation. He's doing all kinds of stuff. You know him well if you're a morning or a K-Talk morning audience member. But Jeff Greenspan, you're only an intermittent presence here. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Dale. Thanks for having me on.
And now, Jeffrey, you're no piker either, and I know you get, you know, you don't want to be famous or be put out in front of the public, but let me just tell the folks that you are a graduate of the University of Pennsylvania, a degree in economics. It's an Ivy League school, so you're no slouch starting with that. But you have made it your business. Plus, you've been involved in Republican Party politics on the innovative side, on the constitutional side, the conservative side for a long time. You were a high-ranking member of the 2008 campaign to elect Ron Paul president of the United States. You've got a lot of items in your dossier, and the movie The Lives of Others just popped into my mind. We're going to get your dossier, Jeff Greenspan, and thoroughly review it at some point and find out what your peccadilloes are. But for this morning, the reason I wanted to have you on is because you are the person, for my part, I know absolutely no one who knows more about national ID. And in fact, had Dr. Paul been elected, that would have been your request to have something to do with national ID. Am I right?
Well, the deconstruction thereof.
Yes. Yes, of course. That was the joke. I mean, I say that kind of tongue in cheek. You would have been able. You would have felt like you had as much knowledge of it as the next guy, or as anybody, and therefore could probably root it out, which would take an awful lot of effort. This morning, Jeff, specifically, and Clint, or you know, I want to try to get to the bottom of this question of E-Verify. There's a movement afoot in the state of Utah. I don't know. You know, maybe it's all for the better. But as just a regular guy that has a little bit of interest in politics, and I don't mean to display false modesty. Seriously, I'm no academic, and I'm not a politician, and I'm not a political scientist. That's why I bring smarter people in to talk about these things. But as I look at the situation in Utah, Senator Sandstrom, who had good intentions, apparently, started up some kind of movement to suppress the hiring of illegal aliens in the state of Utah. And when his bill got into the machinery, the boss hog, ultimately corrupt political machinery of Utah, they quickly morphed it into a bill, HB 116, that would create sanctuary for make out of Utah the ultimate sanctuary state for foreign expatriates, illegal workers, whatever, whoever wants to come here. And now it's law. The bloody thing is law, and there's a reaction brewing that would, it seems to me, try to install something very similar to the Arizona law. Clint Richardson, am I going along the right direction here?
It's virtually identical, although written quite differently. I think it's important to understand, first of all, what we're talking about when we say E-Verify. Because I think the confusion that people are having, you know, it stems from, what the heck is this thing? It sounds like, well, don't we already do this? Don't we already have a Social Security card? And don't we already have to give our, you know, prove our identity when we go and get a job? And that is absolutely correct, which brings the question, really, why do we need E-Verify if that's all E-Verify does? But see, E-Verify is something completely different because it is not part of the Social Security Administration. It is, in fact, an internet-based free program run by the United States government, i.e. the federal government.
And it compares
information from an employee's employment eligibility verification form. But this is being run, you see, by the Department of Homeland Security in partnership with the Social Security Administration. So this is something completely different. This is no different than when, again, I hate to use it as a reference, but when those Nazis came up and asked you for your paper, they were Homeland Security.
All right, Jeff Greenspan, let's turn it over to you for a moment. And both of you guys are going to get plenty of play here. We only have you for about the balance of the hour, Jeff, so I might lean a little more heavily on you. But whatever. The argument that is frequently proposed or vetted on this station and other stations is that to employ the E-Verify system, to enact a system of employer sanctions, creates no more overburden in terms of, you know, registering humans, cataloging people as, you know, giving everybody a number, because we all already have to present a Social Security number in order to be legally hired. Would you speak to that, please?
Sure. There's several misconceptions in that argument. So the first one is, today, what the I-9 does, and that's the employment verification eligibility form, is it's pretty much just an audit function. In other words, the federal government requires employers to, remember, requires employers to verify two forms of ID, then they fill out that I-9 form and they maintain it for the records. If there's a question, the federal government can come in and audit. But this is the employer doing it, right? So that was step one, which, by the way, very interestingly, that form was required in 1986 as part of the Reagan amnesty plan, the one-time amnesty that Reagan was convinced to give illegals.
Right.
There was no employment eligibility verification before that. And then all of a sudden with that amnesty, right, they implemented this I-9 form. Then in the 1990s, the Department of Labor under the Deadbeat Dads Act took those I-9s from the employers and started attempting to build a national database of workers. And now that we have the Real ID, National ID database at the Department of Homeland Security, which of course interfaces with that workforce database in the Department of Labor, as well as the Social Security database from Social Security Administration, now they want to actually move the function of employee eligibility verification out of the employer, out of that audit-type function where there's no way they could stop you from, the feds could stop you from getting a job. Now they're moving it to become federalized where you have to use the federal system and database. So E-Verify, what Clint said is exactly correct. The only thing I'd add to it is E-Verify is nothing more than a user interface that sits on top of the Real ID, National ID database. In other words, now you're forced, an American citizen is forced to get permission from the Department of Homeland Security before they can get a job.
All right. Now, let me ask you a couple of questions. I know we're all chomping at the bit, and I'm going to give you plenty of play here, Clint, but the top of my head is coming off, and because I've been down here 8 or 9 years, I guess I get to be the larger of the predatory animals for just a moment on the food chain. Let's cut to the chase. You just did. Jeff Greenspan at almost 18 minutes after 7. You just cut to the chase where Clint Richardson has helped.
An American citizen cannot get a job under E-Verify unless Department of Homeland Security gives them permission.
What does that mean, ladies and gentlemen of the jury? What does that mean? That means that the criteria for being on that you can work list. Let me put it in a common parlance here. You can work list. Like the no-fly list, that means there's a you-can't-work list. And there's whatever criteria the Department of Homeland Security, and if those words don't strike terror in you, there's something wrong with you. Whatever criteria they ultimately decide on, and cut me short here, Jeffrey, and tell me I'm wrong, such as inoculations for your children as a prerequisite to get a Social Security number, such as a political test of some kind, like you haven't, you know, gotten on the core list or the no-fly list, whatever it is that they want to do. A birth certificate that absolutely requires these things, that's a prerequisite. Your comment.
No, you're exactly right. Like, if you don't, this is right out of Revelations, if you don't carry your number of the beast, if you don't enroll yourself or your children into the system of birth certificate and inoculations and Social Security numbers, you won't appear in their database. In other words, you'll appear to the federal government like an illegal alien.
You're a stateless person.
Exactly. So therefore, you can't bank, can't travel, can't get a job, can't go to school, because what they're doing is they're moving everything that used to be free to a system of permission-based. In other words, you can't do something unless they say you can. You can't get a job unless they say you can. So they don't have you cataloged and numbered up front, and if they happen to not, you know, to like you or not have a problem with you, then you can do everything. Then you're free. In other words, you'll get their permission each time. But if you don't do that, then you're no different than an illegal alien. And this is the interesting thing. It turns Americans into illegal aliens in their own country,
right,
unless they comply.
Here comes our break. Clint Richardson, when we come back, I want you to dig into that a little bit and enhance our understanding. Turning you into illegal aliens in your own country. We're going to hit that again before this hour's out. I want everybody to pick that up.
AM 630, K-Talk, Utah's independent radio voice for 45 years. The voice of Utah. AM 630 K-Talk.
K-Talk.com.
Number one for the most live, local, two-way talk.
I just called.
Now, I know a lot of you are just joining us at, well, it's almost 7:25. I have Jeff Greenspan, who, for my money, is one of the national experts on national ID, one of the top minds that have looked and analyzed from outside of government national ID. My in-studio guest is Clint Richardson, who is a local activist. He's the co-founder of Utah We Are Change. He does many things, too many things to recapitulate right now. Now, Jeff, let me ask you. I'm going to go right to Clint Richardson, but just really quick as a housekeeping chore, Jeff, is there any way to keep you for a few minutes after the top of the hour this morning?
Unfortunately, Dale, I've got several conference calls, so
okay,
I could stay.
But you are good for the balance of the hour.
I am.
All right. Well, then we're going to bias the discussion a little bit towards you, and I want to make sure, you see, and ladies and gentlemen who are already listening, I hope you'll – I ask your forbearance because we're going to have to repeat ourselves before the hour is out as thousands join us later on towards as we get up towards 8 a.m. It's important that we recapitulate what it is we just said in the first half of the show, the first third of the show here, which is the really pernicious sequence that leads to a work, no work list, a national database, the real ID, the capacity of the state, on whatever pretext it chooses to deny you the capacity, the right, the ability to work. Clint Richardson.
Yeah, and you can see that, again, through what we've talked about before, which is incrementalism, because they never pass these things in a way that it's just a sudden in-your-face bill. Now, HB 116 was really in-your-face, it's absolutely nuts. If you get a chance to read it and understand what's in there, you'll be aghast. But that's taking two steps forward. Then a group like Ketchup, Citizens Aligned to Secure Utah's Prosperity along, and they are in charge of what appears to be countering that bill. This is a classic, essentially, COINTELPRO move. They're trying to get something established here in Utah that is a voluntary federal government program everywhere else. But they want to mandate E-Verify for every employer in the county and then eventually in the state. Now, the real trick to this is this actually does nothing. One of their goals is to somehow subvert HB 116, but in reality,
countervail perhaps.
It's fighting against it, but they're not fighting against it. They're not going to tell you this, but they're not fighting against it. They're actually using it and helping it along. In the section four, it says that the Ketchup petition says that it renders the recently enacted Utah guest worker permit program inoperable by keeping the unauthorized alien status of anyone participating in the program unchanged. And yet, I can go to any storefront or any restaurant that is participating in E-Verify, and I can read right on the paperwork that they have in the storefront. Here's what it says. It says, you, meaning you as an employee or prospective employee, have a legal right to work in the United States. There are laws to protect you against discrimination in the workplace. Now, remember, Utah is a right to hire, right to fire state. In other words, you have the right as an employer to do anything you want to as far as hiring and firing with no questions. Then it says, you should know that no employer can deny you a job or fire you because of your national origin.
All right, stop.
Okay. Unless mandated by law or government contract, employers cannot require you to be a U.S. citizen or permanent resident or refuse any legal acceptable documents. Straight from E-Verify.
All right. Now, Jeff Greenspan, what Clint is saying here is that E-Verify is not just a data, you know, a database, a national database, but it has a doctrine, kind of a set of rules and imperatives, whatever. You see where I'm going with that?
I do, and you want to know the here's the irony of ironies, and Clint, that was a perfect lead-in. So I kind of gave the history of how E-Verify came about before the break.
Mm-hmm.
The irony is E-Verify and employment eligibility verification actually arose out of amnesty. Okay, so this is where the cognitive dissonance comes.
So
we're going to have to
Clint has just closed the loop.
Well, get ready for this. Automated employment eligibility verification is specifically mentioned in the Council on Foreign Relations papers on building a North American Union. In other words, it is a prerequisite. It is a required prerequisite to the open border agenda. And the open border people are very clear about it. And Dale, this is where it becomes clear. The reason why Americans are treated no different than illegal aliens inside of the national ID database or E-Verify system is because the whole purpose of it is to apply to everyone in North America, to have everyone registered, and as soon as the open border occurs or another amnesty occurs, all those illegals in the database just get their flag changed from no to yes.
All right.
How does that stop a single illegal from working?
Okay.
And not only doesn't stop them, it enables them.
All right. Now, look, things get foggy. You boys may not fully understand this. I don't mean to be condescending. But if you've been here years, like I've been, and you're Father Time, essentially, you're an old gray-haired man or whatever, you realize that on the radio, things get very foggy. It's like the fog of war. And you got to keep it a little redundant and a little simple. What are you confirming then, Jeff Greenspan, that E-Verify is not just an employment database, a real ID database, a national ID and all that business, but that it literally is there to keep employers from discriminating on the basis of citizenship or nationality or status or anything like that?
Absolutely, because it forces them to take the result that the federal government provides and no other result.
And if you're an undocumented illegal alien who comes here, gets a permit, you are then able to work according to E-Verify. This is why I'm so angry at this. It's because they're trying to pass something and call it something other than it is. No. No, no, no. This is a punishment for employers who are American, who say, wait a minute, I'm not going to hire someone who's not from this country when my fellow countrymen are destitute. That's what this is. And it's being sold as something completely different again.
It's like, Jeff, it's like the protected class laws a little bit in the federal government. You're familiar with those. Only it's meant to cast a protective umbrella over anybody who comes up and asks for a job, or to limit the kind of questions that a prospective employer can ask. Am I on the right road there?
You are right, but I just don't want to lose sight of the fact that we all have to be clear on this, and I think Clint, Dale, our audience, everybody. E-Verify, an automated employment eligibility verification, is the nationalization of a function that employers have done on their own for years, and it is very specifically part of the open border amnesty agenda and has been so documented in the open very clearly for over 10 years. For over 10 years, it is part of the open border amnesty program, not part of the Secure the Border, Stop Illegals program.
Listener, are you out there next to your radio? Are you getting the signal? Are you getting the vital data here that the E-Verify system is vital to the annexation of your country, to the formation of the North American Union? It is a critical component. It is an engine of erasing the United States of America.
Let's clear this up. Let's clear, because we told you in the beginning here, who is running Who is it that's, what's the organization that is running E-Verify? Okay, so it is the Department of Homeland Security working in conjunction with the Social Security Administration. So we have to now understand that Homeland Security or Homeland Defense includes 187 federal agencies and departments. Your National Guard is now Homeland Security. Your Boy Scouts are actually now being sponsored by Homeland Security, which just drives me up the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, United States Coast Guard, Customs and Border Protection. So your U.S. Customs and Border Protection and the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, United States Citizen and Immigration Services, the Secret Service, it goes on and on and on. But the real point here is that the very entity that has failed to, quote-unquote, protect our borders is U.S. Customs, is U.S. Immigration, which all are the
DHS.
DHS. And now you want to give DHS more power to do what they're doing. This doesn't make sense. They're not interested in protecting the borders. They have a record of not protecting the borders, and now we want to throw the authority of them to them.
Well, Jeffrey, it's even worse than what Clint says, and I mean, I know that's hard to achieve, but Janet Napolitano, you're an Arizonan. I believe you were down there when she was the governor of Arizona. She is a Reconquista warrior, is she not?
She is an open borders, openly open borders person. So people need to understand, Department of Homeland Security, right, when government says stuff, it's usually the opposite of what they say.
Always.
So if they're talking about border security, what they mean is border security according to them. In other words, open borders with anyone able to come through who... The only criteria they really have in their future state vision is that they can track you. So security is the ability to track people. That's what the government means by security. So as long as they have you in their database, right, as long as they have you in the database, the borders are open, employment is okay because your database record will appear in E-Verify.
And remember what we've learned, my children. We've learned that the police and the military are there to protect the government, not the what a militia would be doing if we had one, protecting the people from the government. So your police are not there to protect you. You know, one thing that you missed, Jeff, that I'd like you to speak to, actually, it says here on August 31st, 2007, the E-Verify program began to include biometric data to help enhance its searches with over 14 million images kept by the federal immigration authorities and being used by the program.
Now, speak to that over the next 2 minutes, Jeffrey. Then we'll go to our hard break, a few commercials, and then we'll dive into some unscreened calls.
Right, and the reason, okay, so let me go there for a moment. So the Hegelian dialect is alive and well, right, because the logical objection to the fact that employers get a lot of false positives or false negatives in the E-Verify check-in, right, which is what the mainstream opposition to E-Verify says, that it has so many false records and Americans might be denied employment, is, oh, well, then we have to improve the quality of the data in our database. In other words, we can't have false positives or false negatives. The way you stop that is by taking an iris scan and fingerprints of everybody in the database, which means now that an American can't get a job unless they submit themselves, of course, to the enhanced biometric data and get making sure that gets added to their record, so that way they won't get a false negative when they attempt to go get a job and the employer checks them and E-Verify. Seems logical, right?
Yeah, oh yeah. Well, you know, anything to keep us safer.
Now, keep also in mind that your photograph at the Department of Motor Vehicles is biometrically face scannable. In other words, you can get a unique identifier off the facial recognition algorithm that looks at your face on those DMV photos. That also goes into the National ID database. The DMV records are interfaced with the Department of Transportation's database, which is part of also interface, just like Department of Labor, Department of Ed, Social Security Administration, Selective Service, and it just goes on and on. All those databases now are interfaced with the National ID database.
All right, Jeff, listen, you get yourself a sip of water. Clint Richardson, do the same. We're coming up to, like I said, a hard break, a little commercial interruption, and then we're going to take some telephone calls. Your questions at 801-254-5855 in Salt Lake City. I'm Dale Williams, sitting in for Jack Stockwell just today. He'll be back Monday. Stay with us.
AM 630, K-Talk. When you're talking ethics, integrity, and honesty, you're talking K-Talk.
All right, our time is, the clock is really against us. Here's what I want to do. We're in our long segment. We have about 14 minutes of programming in front of us. In that 14 minutes, I want to offer a thumbnail version of what we just covered, which, in effect, if you're just joining us, I have an expert, Jeffrey Greenspan from Phoenix, an expert on the E-Verify system, the national ID system, real ID, all the technology. What we understood from our last 45 minutes is that the E-Verify system was, it's not just data processing. It's a doctrine. It is a legal regime. It is a covering, a protective umbrella to suppress employers' capacity or legal right to ask about citizenship. Ask about other things that on the basis of which they would use, or as a basis they would use to deny people employment.
And it's that, sponsored by the very Homeland Security office that has already failed in enforcing immigration.
It is a vital implementing tool for the North American Union, for integrating the United States into the North American Union, and we're going to effectively describe that situation right at the end of the show before we lose Jeffrey. But let's just entertain some questions from unscreened callers for a few minutes. Go ahead. You're on the air, Salt Lake City. Hello. Anybody home?
Hello.
Yes.
Hi. How you doing?
Go ahead. A question, please.
I just want to make a comment that I'm a member of the Catsup Crusaders, okay? And, you know, I understand your concern about E-Verify, that it's, you know, this onerous government intrusion into our lives. We don't like it either. But we're given this tool, and we're using it in a very real way to take care of a problem in the state of Utah, and
okay,
that is to prevent employers, and you and Clint are defending these employers, but they're hiring illegal aliens. They're taking away jobs of Utahns. They're bringing these foreign nationals into the nation that subvert our whole way of life.
You guys
want to rage about it.
Okay.
You know, and another thing that you ought to do, you ought to be more familiar with the E-Verify process.
All right, sir, we're really up against it. I'll let you do a follow-up. I'm very glad you called. I'll let you do a short follow-up, but let's, before we get too immersed in detail, Jeffrey Greenspan, and before we lose you, what do you have a comment about what the man said so far?
Yeah, I am familiar with the E-Verify technology in great detail. I understand the gentleman's concern. Dale, I mean, you, me, and Clint, I think, are in agreement on this, that employers should not be hiring illegal aliens. I completely agree with that. But what's interesting, what the caller said, is he said because we're opposed to what he thinks is really going on with E-Verify, that we support the hiring of illegals. That is absolutely false.
Well, why?
That's an interesting argument,
right?
Because in his mind, he's thinking, well, if you don't agree with me, that means you support illegals.
Time is very short. Jeffrey, why is E-Verify so messed up that we can't, that are we being extremists by making a bone over, you know, making an issue over this? Or
not
is
at
it
all.
Is
no,
it
not
now
at
let
all.
Me let me finish. Is it as lethal as we're saying? If so, why? Tell the folks why.
It absolutely is, because it subjects, it's federalization of yet another liberty, and it subjects all lawful American citizens to the rubric of Homeland Security. In other words, American citizens may not be employed unless they get prior authorization through Homeland Security's E-Verify system. Now, to the caller's concern, he's going to say, but we have to do something to stop the illegals. And absolutely we do. What we have to do is secure the border. Somehow we're able to secure Iraq's border, but we can't secure our own. And secondly, the Constitution. So the liberals' clarion call is we have to do something. Even if it's not constitutional, we have to do something. Well, where in the Constitution does it state that Americans can't get jobs unless Homeland Security?
Well, that's listen. That's wait a minute. That's what we fought World War II over, to not have to do these kind of things. Now, caller, I'm going to light you back up. I'm going to let you respond. But do you understand that the system that you're asking us to depend on, E-Verify, is being run by the same Department of Homeland Security that will not seal the border? And you're saying, look, the government isn't doing thus and so, we have to do something. But the we you're talking about is the same entity. It's the federal government. Caller, your response.
Yeah, I'm going to respond very quickly. You're right. I don't like the Homeland Security either. But that's what we got at this moment in time. Right now, the way the E-Verify process works, and there's a guy in our Brussels science that knows all about it, you only have to submit three pieces of information: name, social security number, birth date. That's it. And that verifies whether or not that person is a U.S. citizen. That is not a data
convert.
That's
not true. What verifies is that person
and
is a U.S.
And it solves the problem.
I'm a U.S. citizen.
Caller, let Jeffrey respond. You made a good point. Yeah. Go ahead, Jeff.
I'm a U.S. citizen because God and the Constitution and the Founding Fathers made me a U.S. citizen, not because the federal government or Homeland Security says I am. Let me give you an example. I know a recently born baby who didn't get a Social Security number. Are you saying, caller, that she won't be able to get a job? That's absolutely absurd. Born in this country of two American lawful American citizen parents, no Social Security number. So now you're saying she should be treated no differently than a legal alien? Truly,
no.
Sir,
I'm saying that is truly there ought to be another
US
process where something.
All right, caller, go ahead.
Let's not pretend that I'm denying jobs to American citizens. That's exactly it.
One at a time. Caller, go ahead.
No, I just, in a situation like that, surely there ought to be provisions to establish citizenship for somebody
maybe something didn't happen right at birth or whatever. This is the federal ridiculous.
I know it's just getting terribly confused. I've accidentally just dropped a call, but let me clear that line if I can. And Jeffrey, we have a comment from Clint as well.
Listen, I'm going to read this again because what's happening is you're suffering, caller, and this is a very common thing, so it's not an insult, but you're suffering from what's called cognitive dissonance because you're having two thoughts that are conflicting each other, and you're going with the one that is popular, essentially, that causes you the least dissonance. Now, I'm going to read this again straight from E-Verify, straight from the paper that's in the window at a restaurant. It says, you have a legal right to work in the United States. There are laws to protect you against discrimination in the workplace. You should know that no employer can deny you a job or fire you because of your national origin.
Ooh.
Unless mandated by law or government contract, employers cannot require you to be a U.S. citizen or permanent resident, or refuse any legal acceptable documents.
Right.
That is
okay.
E-Verify. That does not stop the HB 116 residents.
Okay.
From
can the legal authority of the state of Utah countervail or overturn that in the E-Verify system, Jeffrey? I know that's a silly sounding question, but what's the story?
The only way for the state to override that is for the state to use its 10th Amendment right to say that the federal government may not use E-Verify in the state of Utah.
Okay.
That's the only way.
All right. Well, and I want to say thank you, caller. Yeah, I appreciate your passion, and, you know, we are ultimately trying to work to the same end. And this is how these things are sorted out. It's a little uncomfortable, and it's a little friction-laden. It's all good. That's the United States of America. It's what it's supposed to be. Boy, we've only got about 4 or 5 minutes left with Jeffrey. Let me ask you this, Jeff, real quick, and then I want you to go back and talk briefly about the North American Union, and I want to squeeze at least one call in while you're still here. The gentleman who called said that the system that is proposed by this petition that's going around would require only three pieces of data. Now, my question is, why would anybody think that it would stop there? And it's not really up to, if you're going to use the E-Verify system, ultimately it's not up to Utah. It's up to DHS as to how many pieces of data. Am I going in the right direction?
You're exactly correct, but there's only one other piece of data that DHS needs to do a unique lock on an individual, and that's residence, which is why you're seeing movements in states to require your actual domicile to be on your driver's license.
Did you say, residence? All right, a quick question for Jeff Greenspan.
That, by the way, is also gun registration, but that's
another subject. Oh, yes, of course.
Another day.
All right, there's a Salt Lake City call. Go ahead.
Is that me?
Yes, go ahead, please.
Oh, hi. Did you hear about Project 16?
No, I haven't.
About China having 50 acres of land near Boise, Idaho?
Oh, of course.
Well, this kind of connects with what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Instead of doggone going to the border, they're coming in and they're giving the land to them. And they also have land at the four other bases. Somebody called in the other day on Jack Stockwell. Yeah. I had all the information.
Yeah, they run
this
Long.
Is pretty
they run,
frightening.
Yeah. They run Long Beach and the Panama Canal. Yeah, that's your Department of Homeland Security for you. Yeah, it's
Chinese,
remember.
I mean, Chinese military on our soil.
Yeah, thanks, caller. You're a good caller.
These are inland ports, essentially. It makes it easy for the government to import products into America without going through customs. That's basically what it
Okay,
was.
Less. Okay, you're right, Clint. Less than 3 minutes. Jeff Greenspan, we're going to lose you in about 2 minutes, 45 seconds. E-Verify, the E-Verify system, sir. From Phoenix, Jeffrey Greenspan. Sir, the E-Verify system is not just a database. It is a doctrine and a legal regime, and it has mandates in it, and those have to do with implementing the North American Union. Would you speak to it in the last two minutes?
I want to be perfectly clear for that caller's sake, and I suggest, I know he believes what he believes, and I know he thinks he's trying to stop illegals from getting a job. But you need to know what you're doing, and you need to educate yourself, because the Bible says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. You are destroying yourself, and you're actually working against the principles that you yourself believe in. You need to read what the evil people have in store for the United States, and they are very clear and open about their agenda, and that is open borders, amnesty, all, quote, citizens must have papers, and you are not a citizen if you don't, and automated employment eligibility verification, which is E-Verify, is a required component of their open border amnesty agenda. In other words, sir, if you implement E-Verify for citizens, as soon as amnesty occurs, the illegals flag turns from no to yes, and all of a sudden, 20 million of them are able to work. And that's exactly what's going to happen.
And they will all be E-Verified, and E-Verify will say, yes, this person can work.
But in the meantime, you've given up American citizens' rights, because no American citizen will be able to get a job unless Homeland Security says they can get a job.
What about the people who say, well, the state of Utah, the legislature of Utah, has the power to stand up and stop the federal government? That's not the current set of precedents.
If you're using federal systems,
yes.
Then not only have you not stopped the federal government, you've yielded that function and power to the federal government.
You know, I hate the issue of pride to get in the way here. And sir, you represent probably hundreds of people listening and other callers that didn't get through. I don't want to get your pride, get your dander up. I just want you to think about our side of this thing. It is a federal system. If you're going to use E-Verify, Clint, it's a federal system. And we know the bent of the federal system is to protect the open borders at all costs.
And that's important, because there is no such thing as state E-Verify. There is E-Verify, and certain states, there's a list of them, actually, that I'm not going to get into. But certain states have required certain employers to use E-Verify, but there's only one E-Verify, and that is Homeland Security's E-Verify program.
Hey, Jeffrey, five seconds.
Before I go, yeah, there's a ray of light. There is an alternative system that a patriot constitutional conservative could approve.
We live where you live. We shop where you shop. Thanks for supporting the sponsors of K-Talk Radio.
Hey, that's us. Good morning. Good morning if you're just joining us, and I know a lot of you are. It's 8:06 and a half right now at K-Talk Radio. I am really delighted to be here and to have been a part and hopefully not gotten in the way too much of that conversation last hour. What a humdinger that was. It was a great Socratic dialogue, a debate, and, spirited debate in the spirit of K-Talk, of traditional K-Talk programming, where both sides get some airtime and the temperature goes up a little bit. I loved it. Jack Stockwell will be back on Monday. I'm Dale Williams. I'll be here with you for another 52 minutes. Well, maybe about 50 minutes, actually. I have my in-studio guest and a vital component of a number of programs that we've done here on K-Talk, Clint Richardson. Let me just mention, before we dive back into this subject of E-Verify and whether it is a solution or ultimately whether employing that system, that federal system of laws and data processing hurts us in the end with our attempt to stop our government from keeping our borders open, essentially. Before we go back into that and your calls about that subject, let me just mention to you, there's a heck of a good restaurant operating down in Draper. Let me tell you a little bit about it. It's Neil's. Neil's in Draper, famous for fish and chips and fish tacos. It has a secret, Neil's Pepper Steak Sandwich, thin sliced roast beef, fresh mushrooms, bell peppers. You gotta indulge me a little bit here. I'm salivating and talking at the same time. Bell peppers and sweet onions grilled in creamy butter. Then a flavor shot of au jus sauce topped with real Swiss cheese. Neil's puts this delicious stack of goodness on a toasted 8-inch bun. Finally, the whole thing is topped off with Neil's famous spicy pepper sauce and sliced peppercinis. Peppercinis. Those are those little pepper things. Oh, those are good. Yummy. Surprise your taste buds today at Neil's in Draper. 112 East. That's 11,200 East. And 100. Oh, no, it is not. I'm sorry. It's 112 East and 123rd South. Famous for fish and chips and pepper steak sandwiches, too. Maybe we'll run through that again before the end of the hour in a more intelligible way. But Neil's is a good place. Once again, it's 112 East and 123rd South. That's down in Draper, so that's 12,300.
I miss South. Captain Salty.
Yeah, Captain Salty.
Where's this Captain Salty?
Yeah, Captain Salty will get it done if we can. So, anyway, Clint, you took a kind of a second position, that's a financial term. You took a more passive position during our conversation. You'll have more time to talk because we have almost an hour together. Let me give the phone numbers because this is controversial. There are people with questions. There are people who want to get something off their chest probably. In Salt Lake City, it's 801-254-5855. In Utah County, 801-470-5855. And that line will clear momentarily. Up in Weber, North Davis County, we'll go to you as soon as we can. The line drops sometimes. It's a technical problem with the phone company. 801-670-5855. What's on your mind, Clint?
Well, I would actually very much like for the previous caller to call back in and let's have a rational, calm discussion about this, because we're not doing this to insult you. We're not doing this to for any other purpose than to educate you about what you're involved in. And the most perfect way to really make you understand, again, this is not meant to be offensive. It is meant to take something in history and apply it to today. A gentleman named Lenin, way back when, out in Russia, coined the term useful idiots. He basically called these the Democratic Party, actually, useful idiots, because these people, they're living in what they were calling a liberal democracy, giving moral and material support to a totalitarian ideology, in effect, braiding the rope that was going to hang them. In other words, they're building the rope for the totalitarian regime that is going to eventually hang them, kill them, destroy their freedom, destroy their liberty. This is what what he coined the term useful idiot. This is not to say that people out there are idiots. It is to say that people are not just as Greenspan has alluded to, and that we need to educate ourselves on exactly what this is. The whole Catsup movement, the bill, from the bill itself, if you read it, you know, I would like to know if anybody out there that's actually supporting this has actually read E-Verify, the E-Verify bill and the National ID bill, because you cannot possibly vote for something to get rid of illegal immigration when that very thing, again, states right on the paper that no employer can deny you a job or fire you because of your national origin or because you're not legal to work. It's the opposite of what you're going for or what you're being told that you're going for.
We have the caller from last hour that we were sort of forced to short shrift because so many things were happening. Let's bring him on and let him put a finer point on his questions or comments. Caller, I'm glad you called back.
Thanks. I appreciate it. My name's Paul, by the way. I didn't say it before.
Okay, Paul.
Yeah, I mean, I listen to both of you guys pretty closely, and I got to say it, I'm probably in accord with 95% of what you say. I don't feel good about Homeland Security at all. If I were king, I'd get rid of it in a second. But this is the only tool we have right now. You've got to do some kind of verification. If you don't, anybody can be hired. This becomes a magnet state, and we become as bad as California or worse. Okay?
Okay.
And, if you are concerned about E-Verify, and I am too, I'm going to continue to follow it, but, you know, you might push for some initiative that it be modified such that it cannot be abused, where, you know, a panel of fellow citizens can establish the citizenship of another or something like that.
It cannot be modified because it is a federal program. It is not a state program.
We can modify it at the federal level. Come on.
I think you'll agree, though, caller, that we have a little trouble coming to bear on federal issues of federal law because, for one thing, the big, you know, like I say, the boss hog, the developers and the big money people and the ecclesiastical authorities send people like Orrin Hatch. Come on, we don't really select Orrin Hatch. I mean, the people, the common folk, he's offered to us as an alternative to some terrible Democrat, and so we go ahead and go along with it and we vote for him. But you're depending on somebody like even Mike Lee. Mike Lee, in my estimation, is not going to interfere with a huge established legal regime like E-Verify. Isn't that a little pie in the sky, the thought that when we can't get our own state to get itself together and stop this nonsense, that we're going to come to bear against the federal government effectively?
Yeah, you could always take that argument, and I can take the argument, too, that the border problem will never be solved. I don't believe it'll be solved in my lifetime. So if you want to do something, instead of waiting for the strategic long-term plan that will probably never happen where the borders are sealed, you've got to do some tactical stuff short term.
Okay, pragmatic. He's talking about being pragmatic. But we're arguing, I think, that it's going to do more harm than good. Go ahead.
No, Clint. It's actually this is what I'm saying when I say cognitive dissonance. I don't think you're understanding. I'm going to read once again from the E-Verify paper.
Stay with us, Colin.
This is exactly what it's doing. It's way worse than if you didn't have E-Verify. No employer can deny you a job or fine you because of your national origin. Unless mandated by law or government contract, employers cannot require. Again, employers under E-Verify cannot require you to be a U.S. citizen or permanent resident or refuse any legal acceptable documents. That is HB 116.
That's what we were trying to say.
The legal documents.
Yes, go
now,
ahead.
The final aspect of this is probably something that you haven't thought of as a Catsup supporter. And it says this, quote, if any of these things have happened to you, okay, that's pointing to, if any of these things have happened to you in this right to hire and fire state, you may have a valid charge of discrimination that can be filed with the OSC. Okay, that means that if the employer, if you've granted the federal government to force all employers to be E-Verify, that means employers lose their right to hire and fire who they choose. And if they don't hire an illegal alien with this work permit that Utah is going to give, they are going to get sued for discrimination, and the federal government will be right there through the OSC to back it up.
Well, caller, that's what we were trying to say last hour, and we had three voices, and it may have been a little muddled, but what we were trying to say is that E-Verify was installed not just to have modernity in terms of data processing and kind of getting a good database on everybody. It was installed to protect people like illegal aliens and to keep the borders open in the sense of, you know, people gaining employment more easily and with less, you know, less bumps in the road. You see where we're going.
I see where you're going. I share your concern about the system, basically. But again, as far as Clint was saying about the wording of the E-Verify, it sounds pretty scary. I don't like it either, but I don't know if they're, when they say that, they're talking about citizens or authorized aliens.
So am I to assume that you have not read E-Verify? You're supporting something you have not read?
I support the U.S. government, and I haven't read 1% of its laws. Okay?
Have you read E-Verify? That's
no,
a great straw man argument.
I have not, but I've talked to people that know a lot more about it than I do.
Okay, well, I've read it.
I see it. Can I finish? I see it as that we, as citizens of the state, can use it in the short term, certainly, to end the magnet employment problem here. And if it needs further work, I'm more than happy to support you and anybody else that wants to fix it at the federal level.
Sir,
I got no problem with that.
Listen to what I'm saying and try to understand why I'm so concerned with not only yourself but with America. You are supporting something, very much like many of our congressmen are, and putting their signatures on bills that they have not read. Do you know how dangerous that is? Can you comprehend how dangerous that position is?
Yes. Did you read the entire Obama's health care bill?
Sir, you're going to – actually, unfortunately, I did, but because someone asked me to and paid me to analyze it.
Some of us, you know, we have full-time jobs. We do the best we can. I appreciate
that's
you're
not good
us know,
enough.
I appreciate you letting us know of the danger, but you know you should be working that end of it too, to have that modified to get rid of these dangers. Okay?
All I would say,
but for us
yeah.
to do nothing and say, oh, okay. this has a this is there, you know a future
for
possibility.
We're coming to
a break. Caller, if you want
listen.
To hold for a little bit more, we're gonna transition to a break. Clint, hold that thought. That we'll be right back. We don't really have time to dig in. Oh, you know what? I just blew it. We have a full minute now. I've cut both of
listen.
You off. And caller, I'll light you back up.
I think I've said all I can.
Okay.
But there are other people that know a lot more about it, and I invite them to call in.
Okay.
And to continue this discussion.
Fair enough. Good job, caller. Good job in trying to make the argument, at least. I appreciate it.
Listen, one of the purposes, one of the reasons that all of these communist countries have taken a look at America and said, oh, we're not going to be communist anymore. It's too obvious. We're going to be a democracy. Is because, you know, America is so wealthy beyond means. It's taken over just about all parts of the world through investment. It is better, sir, for you to do nothing and not support anything than to lend your support or lend your vote to something that you have not read. I am sorry, but it scares me to no end to know that 99% of our voting public is completely uneducated about the very things they are voting on.
I don't know why people's arms go limp and they just blank out when somebody says to them, would you rather do nothing? Well, I mean, yeah. If it's something that's going to dig us deeper in the hole, I would rather do nothing. But I won't do nothing. Stay with us.
AM 630, K-Talk. Utah's oldest, most trusted talk station.
Just as I thought it was going all right, I found out I'm wrong. I'm having fun. I'm glad you're with us. It's 8:24 in a few seconds, in about 15 seconds. And the time has flown by. We've had a good, lively debate, and it continues. My friend Clint Richardson is in studio. It's your old buddy Dale Williams. The number is 801-254-5855. Let's talk to Ed and then Bob. That leaves one Salt Lake line open. Give it a shot. Get involved with the conversation. Ed, what's on your mind?
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for everything you guys are doing.
You're welcome.
Really, really appreciate it. Here's the thing. I think the federal government is about as good as targeting a problem and doing something right about a problem.
Yeah.
As someone who wants to fix a termite problem in their home and all they do is replace the sheetrock.
I'm going to petition Generalissimo Stalin, the man of steel, and appeal to his higher nature, his better angels, and try to get him to do something about this problem of me having to wait in line for toilet paper all day. Go ahead.
Yeah, very good. And I bet there's some people out there that don't even know what I was talking about with the termite problem being fixed with replacing the sheetrock. But here's the point. If you've got a termite problem in your home's going to crumble to the ground eventually if you don't get rid of the termites, take all the rotten wood out and rebuild it.
We okay? have domestic enemies, Clint Richardson and Ed, caller Ed, and yes. no amount of wishing is going to help. And when we decide to play by their rules in their ballpark with their baseball and their bat and their gloves, you know, they're going to hand us our backside every time. It's an ugly, ugly problem. And I because I can't find some nice, solution that doesn't put married men in jeopardy. Remember, married men fight wars, too. Men with children fight wars, too. I'm sorry. I'd like to suggest something that you could do on a Saturday and then go to church and have lunch and everything's fine. But these problems, Janet Napolitano, the Stalinist Janet Napolitano, she doesn't go away when you do stuff like that. It ain't going to help.
You know, I feel like I'm in a what you might call a psyop, a psychological operation with
right.
this.
We're the
with
steam
the,
valve.
With the sheriff thing, with everything, where yeah. they're presenting this thing and calling it something completely opposite of what it is, solely for the purpose of introducing it to a people that don't know what they're supporting. It's a psychological operation. It's a classic example of what, you know, forgive me, of COINTELPRO. It really is. Controlled opposition is what we're talking about here. Controlled opposition with the purpose of putting E-Verify as a mandatory law in Utah. That is what we're dealing with.
Yep. Now, all they have to do, guys, is create a little bit of doubt in the minds of people, and then people who have doubt tend to not act. They tend to wait and watch. They don't want to make a wrong decision and go one direction or another because they doubt their own decision-making. So, I mean, they just create doubt by misnaming things, claiming a war of peace. Okay, there's no such thing as a war of peace. I'm sorry, guys. Think about it. People lose limbs and people die. Is that peace? No, it's not.
You know, Ed, I and Clint, last night or two, I've been watching Ken Burns, the guy who made the famous series documentary on the Civil War. You know, remember that, Clint, right?
Mm.
Ken Burns. He did a thing on World War II. It didn't get as much play, but it was called The War. And Ed, I don't know. This is taking it to just a much simpler level. You watch the real footage from the war, and it is more than appalling. There are not words to describe the suffering that took place. They put the number at 405,000. Other people put it a little higher of number of Americans who died in the war. About 1 in 10 people, or 1 in 9 people, persons that is, was in uniform, were in uniform. What was that all for if we have to carry papers like people living under the Hitler regime or the Stalin regime? What was that all about? Are we going to carry papers for a while and then work our way out of it slowly? You know, is that the idea?
Well, hey, last point here, guys. I didn't want to take too much time here, but, you know, our politicians take an oath to defend and protect and preserve our Constitution. So any single second there is a threat to our freedom, our leaders ought to defend, protect, and do everything in their ability to protect our freedom. And they're not. When they blanket a solution like E-Verify that's going to cover every individual who breathes and walks upright and wants to have a job, that's not the right solution, people. It's not protecting our freedom.
Yeah, Ed, listen, this is real simple. You to be in that system, which is a you're okay to work list, ultimately they can set any criteria that you have to meet in order to stay on. It's like the no-fly list. It's the same kind of a deal. That means ultimately that you're going to have a federally standardized birth certificate. It's in their documents. They've already exposed what the long-term design is. Now,
yep.
In order to get a birth certificate for your child then, and to have so that he's a citizen here, effectively, or has the rights of a citizen, I suppose, at least. Well, you know what I'm saying. He's a citizen because he's born here. But effectively, to be a citizen, he'll have to have that birth certificate, and the government may require the hospital to inoculate him. It may be that having the child at home is going to be a problem. You know, there's a million different things, ways that this thing can manifest itself.
And let me just, I just want to, for what you said about these guys taking an oath, this is another, what you might call almost like a psych job. It's, you know, you see them taking an oath, but you see the law, the code and the law states that an oath is only good if you write it down and sign it. And I have some compatriots who have really studied this and found that about 75% of our politicians in Utah and, in fact, in the United States have not lawfully taken an oath because they never wrote it down and signed it. So to go by an oath as a binding contract, you cannot do that unless you see it, that they've written it down, and you can verify that. And I bet you whoever you're referring to has not done that.
Hey, thank you, Ed. Any last comment?
Yeah, I'm just thinking as a general principle there, if you take an oath to do something, you ought to live by it, and you ought to breathe it and everything. And you know what? Last thing, guys, if we're going to really defend our freedom and we're going to do what is right, we can really have a prosperous country. We can really be happy, and we can have a good country to live in. And, I just hope that God blesses us and we keep fighting the fight to do what's right.
All right. Thank you, Ed. Thanks for a good call. I appreciate it. We'll move on now. You know, the Congress of the United States is the scum de la scum. What we keep forgetting, that, you know, you can't make a vibrant, virile entity like the United States of America that threw off the British Army. Do you have any idea? Do any of us have any idea what kind of an accomplishment that was and what kind of a vibrant, fierce entity emerged on the other side of that conflict? You can't beat that thing down without a really cohesive, persistent effort by a whole bunch of quislings. I guess I don't have to say it. That would be the United States Congress. I think that's Bob. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, good morning, guys.
Hello.
Yeah, whatever else, I think this, that, and maybe we could get an answer. I mean, essentially, under Article 4, Section 4, the United States is required to protect the states against invasion. Now, is not the movement of illegals in this country under false identification, usually, interfering with our economic structure, is that not an invasion?
Not if you're a government who is interested and has very much an interest to increase illegal immigration.
Yeah.
That's
well,
the best
you know,
answer, right?
I find it difficult to hold employers responsible for hiring illegals when they have, as I understand it, they really don't have a rigid way of accurately identifying them. Should not this be the responsibility of the state? Surely, with the Social Security Administration, when it spots people coming in with numbers and they can't associate it with anybody, surely they could spot them right off the bat, couldn't they?
Well, you know, another thing is, what makes people think, if cops aren't even allowed to ask people their immigration status at this point, in other words, when a cop pulls someone over and it's obvious they don't speak English, they just crossed the border, they don't have the right anymore to ask for their immigration status. So what makes people think that they're going to ask these people that this is going to do anything besides the fact that we've already discussed that that the E-Verify actually protects your illegal immigrant status. It doesn't do anything to hurt it. What makes people think that this program is going to do anything if our police won't even do anything about when they obviously have one in their hands?
Let's suppose that E-Verify was in a kind of a benign, neutral state right now. You know, there where it was just a it didn't have a racial, an internationalist agenda, a racist international, a racist agenda against the seed stock of the United States, the majority here. Let's say it didn't have that kind of agenda and it was just neutral. Be bad enough because it still would be national ID, but we're talking about going all the way from the negative end of the, you know, the aspiration spectrum here. In other words, it's starting out as a left wing global socialist North American Union engendering pro immigration monstrosity, and we're saying let's take that system. And we're going to make it do – it's what's available. That's the tools in our kit, and we better darn well use them. The only water to drink within reach is seawater. If we don't drink it, we're gonna die of thirst, so we might as well take a big, long pull, you know, on that salty seawater. I just don't understand where people are coming from. The problem is – it's not going to touch the problem as far as – Clint, is it going to do anything? Is it going to – create temporary relief at least while we get sort ourselves out, do you think?
It is going to promote illegal immigration, first of all, into Utah. It's also going to promote HB 116 by you get a permit as an illegal alien to work, and then that permit will show up on the E-Verify system able to work.
Unless those articles that are presently part of E-Verify are somehow expunged or overturned or whatever. Bob, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, we had a treaty, which was a misnomer. They called it the Genocide Convention, and maybe you're familiar with it, maybe not. But part of that was, you know, whether or not the United States could question people's ethnicity or whether or not they belong to subversive organs, any number of these things, and it came in under the Reagan administration, of all things. But obviously, what's happening, regardless of what the state does, if you turn illegals over to the federales, and they don't do anything except essentially let them go, so there's a big question, and of course, what would you say? Probably a third of the northern border is water.
It's a good point, Bob, but of course the proponents of this thing, this item that we're discussing, this use of E-Verify to solve Utah's immigration problem, at least, they would say to you that it is the very severe punishment of non-compliant employers that is going to be the dynamic element of this thing. It's going to be disincentivize those illegals from even being here, and therefore they won't have to go into federal custody because they're going to go back to some other state, you know, that's more friendly to them in terms of an employment regime. You know how the argument goes.
Yeah, well, you know, probably half a mile from here is the crow flies, is the inland depository by Homeland Security, FBI, whatever you want to call it, database, and of course surrounded by brick walls and high barbed wire and fancy gates and armed guards and all the rest.
Where's this, Bob? Where is this?
Huh?
Where?
It's at the intersection of Quinn Road and Bowline Road on the old Naval Ordnance Plant.
Oh, okay, okay.
Section here in Pocatello.
Yes.
But anyway, and I don't doubt, you know, you get a driver's license these days. If you look at the back of it, they have, of course, it's a micro data lines. There's about 20 lines of data all the way across that. And how much information could be honked into that? I mean, essentially, we are being put on a photographic, we'll call them papers, all right, but where you can't question anybody about their citizenship, or obviously their ethnicity might be obvious, but I mean, the whole question of having a valid ID system without a photographic database is ludicrous, isn't it?
I suppose. Thanks for your call, Bob. You know, Bob and Clint Richardson, speaking of driver's license, as I can't call to mind the exact state. I believe it was South Carolina. It had a holographic, one of those prismatic or holographic images of the North American Union on the back of their state driver's license. I don't know. There comes a point where you can just carry on. Yeah, folks who are dismissive of this discussion that we're having, carry on with the most blatant evidence right in front of you that this stuff that you've always been, you know, that the herd, that fashion has labeled fringe or conspiratorial or whatever, you can carry on and ignore it and stay right in the middle of the pack. I'm always thinking, every time I get in this radio behind this mic, for some reason the image, Clint, of a bunch of muskox comes to mind. You know how they act, right? They all get in a big cluster, a circular, they crowd on into each other. Safety in numbers, safety in the tightness of that circular formation. We'll be back in our final segment in just a moment. Stay with us.
The Voice of Utah. AM 630 K-Talk.
K-Talk.com.
Number one for the most live, local, two-way talk.
All right, this is our final segment in the Jack Stockwell radio program. It is on the Jack Stockwell radio program for July 29th, 2011, a Friday. Jack will be back on Monday. Your old buddy Dale Williams completing the task of wearing out his welcome down here at the station. Let's talk to Eagle. Eagle, good morning.
Yeah, wasn't it Jefferson that said the price of freedom is eternal vigilance?
Sounds about right.
Yeah, that stumps me. You're close. If it isn't Jefferson, it's one of the big boys. Go ahead.
Well, what makes you think that we can make a perfect bill? It can't be done. You got to take what you can get, in my opinion. And what's wrong with that idea?
Well, the concept of a perfect bill, the only way you could actually get a perfect bill is if every single minority were actually represented in government. That would mean the Green Party, the Libertarian Party, the Communist Party, the Socialist Party, the Republican Party.
Whoa. I am not advocating a perfect bill. You are.
I am?
Sir, you have criticized what's going down in the movement here in Utah as a less than perfect bill.
Yeah, but we haven't represented it as imperfect. We've represented it as fatally flawed. That's different from what you're saying.
Okay.
Tyrannical.
You know,
how about that?
You're nitpicking, but let me just say this, okay? What is happening in the state of Arizona right now?
Good question. Let's see if Clint can. Clint's just been reading up on that. Clint?
Yeah, actually, the state of Arizona requires employers to participate in E-Verify under the Legal Arizona Workers Act, and somehow has survived a number of unbelievably constitutional challenges all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court. Interesting, though, this was a figure from 2008. The Legal Arizona Workers Act requires all Arizona employers to use E-Verify with all newly hired employees effective January 1st, 2008. Although, as of December 2008, only 5.6% of Arizona businesses had signed up with E-Verify.
Clint, you listen?
Yeah, go ahead. You're on.
It's one thing to go ahead and read off a script and avoid your own personal feelings, and that's just exactly what you're doing.
Well, it's an important data point. He's saying there's only about, what, 5% that have complied so far?
As of 2008.
Are the rest of them in legal jeopardy, or do they have a deadline at some point in the future?
Okay, I'll answer that question with another bigger question. Clint, have you ever read all of the law books that have been printed in the United States? Yourself.
Well, sir, that would be, 123 yards worth of reading.
No kidding.
And most of it completely illegitimate because it's under an illegitimate government.
No kidding.
What's your point?
My point is, you guys want to swallow the whole elephant at one time when it has to be taken line by line, item by item.
Well, I think what you're suggesting is that we're nitpicking for some ulterior motive, but
what I tried
and Clint and Jeff Greenspan tried to do last hour is to describe exactly how E-Verify is operating right now to guarantee the formation of the North American Union, to protect expatriates, foreigners, illegal aliens in their search for employment in this country. That you've got to read the document to know that. That's why we're making, we're quoting the documents, and that's why Clint has them up on his computer. And so if that's a nitpicking detail, I don't know what a significant detail would be.
And Dale, by the way, I would place all of my trust in the man from Arizona, Mr. Greenspan.
Well,
I would. He is the perfect, absolutely the perfect savior.
Well,
you know him.
Now you're just engaging in ad hominem. I know him, and, like all of us, he has a flawed existence. We all have that issue, don't we? Thank you for your call this morning. But he is a encyclopedic asset.
Am I mistaken?
On E-Verify and the national ID.
Yeah, am I mistaken, or did that caller just not say anything tangible at all?
I don't know, but everybody gets to chime in as long as they don't, start in with bad language. You're all welcome. Everybody's input is, fit for the mill this morning. Salt Lake City, you're on the air.
What the thing these callers need to understand is that the United States is on the verge of collapse.
Yes.
Okay. I don't think they realize how dire the circumstance is at present. I don't think they get it.
What's your first name, caller?
Wayne. This is Wayne.
Wayne, I'm glad you called.
Wayne, we're sure trying.
Wayne, look, this is, I don't want you to get me started because I've gotten through this program without getting emotional or without shouting or any of the other things that are the cause of in-house intrigue after the fact when I'm gone. But that is exactly what's on my mind. There's a 7-minute audio piece that I've circulated on email, and I'm going to try to get my webmaster Aaron to post, that talks about the ecclesiastical and moneyed powers that run this state and the way that they camped out. That's the metaphor that's used by the legislatures that described their activity during the lobbying process for HB 116, that they might as well have had a tent pitched in the back halls of the legislature. And what is the result of that? Do you know what comes in? And I'll let you finish, Wayne. Just get my 60 cents in here. For one thing, it's a flood of MS-13 terrorists. You want to see real terrorists? Dale Williams is not a terrorist unless you're Janet Napolitano or Barack Obama or George Bush. Then Clint Richardson and Dale Williams are domestic terrorists and enemies of the state. But you want to see a true enemy of the state? You look at an MS-13 member, an infiltrator. There are tens of thousands of them, and they're organized like an army, and those are the true allies of these religious and economic nabobs, these big shots in this state that are fighting to keep this state the crown jewel of sanctuary states, and they're doing a darn good job at it. Wayne.
If they don't recognize, if these people, these callers don't recognize that essentially what has happened is an importation of communist, socialist, liberal vote from south of the border, okay? We had an invasion in the United States, a calculated invasion for the purpose of changing the demographics in such a way that the Electoral College and everything else can be shifted in favor of, Barack Obama and keeping these communist socialists in office. The other thing, I have a friend that works for the terrorist division of the Salt Lake County Police Department.
Really?
And interestingly enough, they had a memo circulate there not too long ago that suggested that there were something like, I can't even remember what the numbers were, but 15,000 non-Mexican invaders. Okay, these are Middle Eastern type
sure.
invaders.
OTMs.
Like every couple months, 15,000 of them coming through the tunnels. The United States has been invaded and is under attack. we are at war, and what are we doing? We're standing by, twiddling our thumbs, waiting for our own destruction.
We're actually voting to give the federal government more power. That's what we're doing.
We're in pre-Nazi Germany, folks. Wake up. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Wayne. Now we're going to rip-sit through some calls. It looks to me like we have about 4 minutes left. Let's talk to on some on-screen calls in Salt Lake City. Go ahead.
Hey, Dale. It's Dennis.
Dennis.
Hey. My point is, why even pass another stupid bill? You know, if I was an employer and I was hiring a bunch of people, I'll bet I have maybe one or two out of 100 might get by me. I would be able to tell if somebody's illegal. It doesn't matter what country they're coming from. I could tell.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's my point. Why even pass another stupid bill?
Why empower?
All a bill does is give the government more power.
I agree. Isn't that the essence of it, Clint, in a thumbnail?
Another law. Another stupid law.
You know,
until you get caught. You don't even know there's a law about it until you're in trouble.
What we're talking about is ignoring the problem in the first place. And these people are not going after HB 116. They're actually empowering HB 116, whether they know it or not. But the problem still lies, underlying problem, is HB 116, which allows not only the workers to come here in the first place, illegals, to get a permit to work, but then not follow any of the actual laws that we all have to follow. And then they can bring their family in as well, and then their family can bring their family in,
I've heard all about that.
Yeah, we still have that problem. That problem is sitting there, and the best we can do is to give federal government, to get the federal government to come in and actually protect them with E-Verify.
It's like the last caller you guys were talking about. It's kind of like Nazi Germany, but it's hidden within democracy, so...
Well, that's why, like I said, that's why communist countries are now turning into democracies because
they can see. Yeah, you made a very valid point when you mentioned that. It hit me like a light bulb. I'll tell you what.
Absolutely.
Dennis, I'm gonna squeeze in one more. Thank you, pal.
Yep.
Okay.
See you later. Bye.
Maybe we can get two more in depending on the duration. Let's try it. Salt Lake City on screen call. Go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for your information.
And who do I have on the line, please?
This is Jackie.
Hi, Jackie.
I was just curious, now that you've talked about this, and it seems like to me the Ketchup Crusaders situation on this whole thing is that they are trying to pass the E-Verify and stop employers from being able to hire illegals, when in fact they're just going to empower them to be able to do so, because you read it 4 or 5 different times.
Yeah.
Unless that can be changed, and I would be very interested to see how Utahns think they're going to change the E-Verify regime, but maybe, you know.
Well, I think that a lot of the people several of the people called in just didn't quite get it. You know, even after you read the thing that said, you know, they can be hired. It doesn't matter what they do.
They can be hired, and essentially they must be hired, or they'll sue the employer, and the federal government will be there leading the charge to sue that employer. So you're not only holding the employer responsible for if someone comes in with forged documents, which should be the responsibility of, say, Social Security for having forged documents, but you're actually giving the employer, you're actually giving the illegal the power to sue. I don't know how, because they don't have any lawful right to do so, but they have the power to sue the employer if they don't hire them.
They do it all the time. The Southern Poverty Law Center will take up their case, and in the case of the Guatemalans who were detained for an hour down in Texas, those people were awarded the ranch of that was owned by the person who detained them. Jackie,
well, you know,
Jackie,
madam,
you must call me earlier next time. You're a good caller.
I commend you for figuring this out.
All right, 30 seconds. Caller, you've got about 30 seconds.
Good morning. MS-13. MS is an acronym. Stands for Mara Salvatrucha.
That's George.
The literal translation of that is the Army of Killer Ants.
Right, and 13 stands for the 13th letter in the alphabet, which is Mexico.
And that is what should be hammered home.
George, call us again. That's a voice we haven't heard in a long time. There's the end of it. Thanks for being with us. Clint Richardson and Dale Williams signing off. I hope we see you again. Jack will be back Monday. Stay tuned for When Wall Street Meets Main Street.
AM 630, K-Talk. Preserving the American Way for a new American tomorrow.